So, Julia, when I when we break down the starts of the various starting pitchers this year, I've personally been on Jay's talk for one of three guys, I think. Either Hyunjin Ryu, who is done for the season now, Alek Manoah, who I think more often than not has been electric, a lot of fun to discuss, win or lose, as we did yesterday, and Yusei Kikuchi, who has unfortunately not been very consistent. I think that's like a very generous way to describe Kikuchi's pitching this year, inconsistent, and at worst, maybe a very not generous way of describing it. He has been bad for a lot of the season. And again, Sho Ali and Julia Kreutz with you here on Jays Talk on an evening where the Jays lose 5-4. But it's crazy. We'll get to the Kikuchi stuff in 2 seconds here. But Julia, I got to say, it's wild that on a night where the game felt like it was over in the second inning, I actually can't believe you can look at the score and see 5-4, right? Like, it just, I don't know. The second inning felt like it was 1,000 years ago because of all the things that were going wrong with Yusei Kikuchi. Bo Bichette hits a home run. Matt Chapman hits a home run. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. RBI single. Chapman also with some good hitting in the ninth inning as well to lead to that RBI single. I mean, a lot to like from the bats, despite a loss that seemed very winnable at times. And I know this is going to focus on Yusei Kikuchi, but I got to say, 5-4, I'm kind of surprised that's the way this game went, considering the three Milwaukee pitchers were Corbin Burns, Devin Williams, and Josh Hader.
Definitely a little bit easier after Corbin Burns' departure. I believe this was his longest start of the season. He went 7 2/3, if I'm not mistaken. 9 strikeouts for Burns, who really had the Blue Jays' number for the first little bit. And then, you know, once he is out of the game, things do start looking up a little bit. Bo Bichette with his home run there, a big one for him. It's unfortunate. It's definitely sort of kind of what I definitely had in mind in terms of, you know, how Corbin Burns would do and what it would mean for the Blue Jays to face a pitcher of this caliber who strikes out a lot of hitters. So definitely unfortunate. The rally at the end, I think, was surprising and sort of a jolt of energy for a lot of those guys in a game when it seemed like it was all lost, particularly early. But still, there are so many questions that need answering right now, Sho. It's tough to take the moral victories, right?
That's the thing.
That's Yusei Kikuchi, another tough outing for him, and I can't wait to dissect it all with you here.
Yeah, exactly. Moral victories for a season. I mean, the Jays are now 40-31 after this loss, and for a season where the expectations were set so high by virtually everyone, the team themselves, fans, the media. And to have it again, 40-31, I would not say is a bad season, but is it where you expected the Blue Jays to be? Here we are on June 25th, coming to the end of the month. Probably not, right? Probably not, I would say. So people who are frustrated with the season to date, and you know, games like this, especially with the way they ended, feel so incredibly winnable, right? I mean, Max Castillo, and I want to have the Max Castillo conversation at some point. He gave this team a chance when, again, the Jays were down 5-0. After what, the first swing of the third inning, essentially, right? I mean, how are you? If that's, you would have looked at the score then, you would have thought the final score would have been much, much worse, considering the bullpen, the beleaguered bullpen was going to have to be used. It felt like a lot today. And in the end, the only pitchers who end up throwing after Kikuchi were who? Trent Thornton and Castillo, I guess, right? That was it. That was actually
that's
it, right?
It.
So, yeah, I don't know. Let's have the Kikuchi conversation, though, because we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that on Jay's Talk today. And again, you can text us at 590-590. Leave your name and location so we can give you a shout-out. I see a couple texts here already, so we'll get to those in a second. But Kikuchi's final line, 2 innings pitched, 6 hits, 5 runs, 2 of them were earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, and he allowed the 2 home runs, the 1 to McCutcheon and the 1 to Mike Brosseau, and some other, I think Willie Adames also getting a run in there as well. Seems oddly, morbidly appropriate that two of the guys scoring today against the Jays were Adames and Brosseau, two former Tampa Bay Rays, considering we refer to the Milwaukee Brewers as the Rays of the NL. But I don't know. 69 pitches, first of all, maybe the only nice thing today from Yusei Kikuchi, 43 strikes. I'm at a point now where I'm not entirely sure what the answer is for Kikuchi, right? I mean, he has minor league options remaining, but he can elect to go to free agency if he's sent down because of his service time that he's accrued. And if he does get sent down, he almost assuredly will elect free agency. The Jays will be on the hook for the entirety of that 3-year, $36 million deal. So he's getting $16 million this year, $10 million each of the last 2 years. People want to DFA him, Julia. We were talking about that during the game. The, you know, it seems unlikely because if he's DFA'd and clears waivers, the Jays are on the hook for the entire deal. If a team signs him after he clears waivers, the Jays are just on the hook for the difference. But, I mean, who's really giving Kikuchi a lot of money that would make up that difference? I can't imagine a lot of teams are, right?
No, and that's what makes this so fascinating. It's what do you do with Yusei Kikuchi? Some other things that have been thrown around is simply put him in the bullpen, see what happens, or give him some time to sort of cool off and regain his confidence, which is something that is very clearly lacking, I would say, when he takes the mound. It's funny, Sho, because we were talking about just how little maybe he threw his fastball in his last outing. And, you know, the clamoring for Yusei Kikuchi to throw his fastball. He actually did throw his fastball quite a bit today, and he just could not find the strike zone. There was absolutely no command of the fastball. And so it ends up being a pick your poison, and in a very, very negative way here. Are you going to throw the cutter and the slider, which hitters know are coming and are just demolishing it? Or are you going to throw the fastball, and very clearly you don't have the confidence to throw that pitch right now, and it's just all over the place? What do you do with a guy like that? And we know the track record of the Blue Jays and Pete Walker specifically, and in sort of reviving careers and finding the potential and really building that into something that is sustainable in Major League Baseball. But that's not been the case with Yusei Kikuchi. Are they going to DFA him? Probably not. I don't expect the Blue Jays to get rid of Kikuchi, because when they signed this deal, they knew that there was at least a possibility that him as a starter would be a flop. I'm interested to see what the backup plan is, but we've spoken a lot about Yusei Kikuchi as an experiment. Now it's time to sort of implement phase two of the experiment. Very clearly, whatever this was has not worked. And, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to think of something else. And that's been particularly true, Sho, in June. I have a Sportsnet stats tweet here. The numbers are just not good. He hasn't pitched past 4 2/3 this month. His record is 0-3. His ERA is 9.39. Ooh. Opponent's OPS 1.315. That's just not going to cut it for a team with playoff and beyond aspirations.
No, absolutely not. And like you mentioned, we opined about him not throwing the fastball in the pregame show. The fastball, like his fastball tonight, was like me trying to decide whether or not I want to have a second can of Coke dinner. Zero control. No control there whatsoever. And
I love that. And I can relate with that very deeply.
Oh, good heavens. I agree with you that they're probably not DFAing him because of the length left in the deal and the amount of money left on that deal as well. People have texted in about an opener, and I'm going to read a couple of texts here in a sec here. But still, on the opener stuff, I'm just trying to find the text. I'll find it later. But the only reason I think the opener is not happening is because I'm not sure it matters right now when Kikuchi's first inning is. If there is an opener, he'll have to have a first inning at some point in that ball game, right? It doesn't seem to matter that it's the game's first inning causing him issues, but more that it's just his first inning in that particular appearance that's causing him issues. So, like, openers, moving him to the bullpen, will either of those solve the issues that as soon as he gets on the mound, he just doesn't seem to have control? It's possible, I suppose. It's definitely possible. I'm not, like, ruling out that solution entirely, but I'm not sure that'll also change anything at the same time. Like, I almost feel like the most likely thing to happen now is for them to just, and again, I'm not sure how this works in terms of reporting. I mean, we and I were talking about this during the game after he departed in the third inning, but I mean, phantom IL stints are things that have happened in the past, and I don't think that's what happened with Trevor Richards. I think he probably actually was injured with the neck strain and so on, but I kind of wonder if they may not just do something like that, have him get right, and I don't know. Max Castillo was a starter for the Bisons. Maybe for the next couple of starts, at least, you just throw Castillo out there, because you just get the stats from Sportsnet stats. Max Castillo wasn't great against the Yankees on Father's Day. He gave those two home runs to, I guess it was Higashioka and LeMahieu, and didn't look good. That was his first appearance in the majors. Today, much, much better. We'll get to the Castillo stuff in a sec, but I mean, he can't be that much worse than what we have seen out of Kikuchi at this point. I mean, you just have to try something. What do they say about the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over and over again. I don't know how you can continue to trot out Kikuchi and just hope that something changes at this point.
Listen, the upside that the Blue Jays saw in Yusei Kikuchi was very apparent. He's a guy that when he is on top, when he is sharp, he can miss bats. He can get the strikeouts be deceiving. When he's not, he's all over the place. He's walking guys and he is surrendering a million home runs, it feels like. How much of that is mental? How much of that is, you know, just your psyche is not right? And what can this Blue Jays coaching staff do to sort of right that? Does that mean a stint coming out of the bullpen? Does that mean sitting out a couple of starts and getting things right? I honestly don't know. I would agree with you that it wouldn't be much worse than it has been for Kikuchi to give another starter a chance. Maybe a Casey Lawrence, maybe Max Castillo himself, and trying something else with Kikuchi. Maybe what he needs is a change of pace. I'm not sure that the problem is his stuff. It seems to me like it's more mental than anything else because sure. He's still getting, he got five strikeouts today. So it's a mystery, right? It's a conundrum. And maybe putting him in the bullpen and seeing how it goes, giving him some low leverage opportunities, excuse me, and trying to get this turned around, finding some value, some upside, which is something that has been touted for a long time in Kikuchi, that might be an option. And it seems to be maybe the most viable option right now, considering that I don't believe he's going to get DFA'd and I don't believe the Blue Jays would just outright send him down. So, yeah, that's what I would suggest with a large question mark, because it's one of those questions with a no good answer, I feel like.
A lot of texts on the text line right now. And again, you can shoot us one at 590-590, name and location. A lot of people optimistic about Max Castillo maybe taking over a spot in the rotation, if only for a little bit. Like, I see Shlomo from Scarborough. What do you think about letting him take over Kikuchi's spot? He is stretched out. He looked great tonight. Let Kikuchi take some time on the IL. I see one here from, let's see, I see another one here from Steph in Quebec City. It just found the next starter in replacement of Kikuchi. Castillo can't be worse. DFA Kikuchi, in worst case, he will be a Buffalo Bison in 10 days. And then I see another one here from Luke in Kitchener. I believe in Yusei Kikuchi. I believe that he will wind up being a good player in the Jays history books. I will believe he won't be a blemish on Ross Atkins' report card. However, I've never seen a starting pitcher struggle start after start when it is so blatantly obvious what he needs to do to have success. At this point, the coaches must be encouraging him to not only establish his fastball, but use it as a strikeout pitch itself as well. Why aren't we seeing it? It's so obvious. Thanks, Luke from Kitchener. So like you mentioned, we did see a bunch of strikeouts. So that was about like an hour and a half ago. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, we did see the fastball a lot today, but it was just so erratic and he could not control it, which I kind of wonder. Again, we were having this conversation earlier, Julia, but I kind of wonder if he himself believes that while he has the heat on the fastball, if he himself believes that it's not his best pitch. And if that's the case, asking him to throw a pitch he's not super confident in probably, and again, it goes back to what you're talking about mentally, right? It doesn't really set you up well for success. I'm not blaming the Blue Jays pitching staff. I'm not sure how you get over a mental hurdle like that when your best pitch clearly is like a 97-98 mile an hour fastball and you're not confident in it. So then it snowballs from there, basically.
I'll tell you this, it's a pretty drastic difference or contrast to go from an Alek Manoah start to a Yusei Kikuchi start.
No kidding.
When it comes to confidence levels, Alek Manoah is comfortable throwing any pitch at any count at any point. And if Charlie Montoyo tries to get him out of the game, he will wag his finger. He will refuse to shake hands. He will be the guy that is completely in control. Whereas with Kikuchi, what we're seeing is the lack of confidence. It's going back sort of to the same thing in the same pitch that hasn't worked. And when, you know, you sort of venture into trying something new, there's just no trust in it, and it ends up being an erratic fastball. So I'll say that, you know, watching those games back to back yesterday and today, it's I don't know, it was a fascinating experience. Yeah.
No, hey, I mean, you're not wrong. Real quick, I want to get to the Max Castillo stuff, because he had, a quietly impressive day coming in after Trent Thornton, right? Like, he had a, like we said, miserable day against the Yankees on Father's Day, but very good, I thought, against the Brewers today. Like, was it, at the time he came in, was it a super high leverage point in the game? Probably not, but he gave the bats a chance, and while it didn't get done in the end, like, maybe he just saved himself a spot on the active roster and more, as people are clamoring for, right? I mean, I know you and I have spoken both on and off the air about Adrian Hernandez, and he has the nasty changeup that people are, I think he's 22 years old, so a pretty young guy. Maybe he'll see some more seasoning with the Bisons, but Max Castillo, also a relatively young guy. And I mean, look, maybe Castillo's outing tonight, 4 innings pitched, 1 hit, no runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, 69 pitches, 45 strikes. I mean, there's no way after what we saw tonight, you can't at least think about trying to give Castillo a longer look. Like, the beleaguered bullpen, Jimmy Garcia is on the 15-day IL with the back inflammation. Like, how can you not give Castillo a longer look at this point?
Yeah, I think that he's definitely pitched himself into consideration here. There are undoubtedly question marks in this rotation. It's also worth considering that whoever you pull from that bullpen into the starting rotation, you are furthering the bullpen problem, right? So how do you go about that? Are you going to count on Jeremy Beasley, Matt Gage, who have been okay? Who are your big high leverage guys here? You have Tim Meza, you have Romano closing, Adam Simber, whom we've talked about, just the inability sort of to miss the bats and get strikeouts in big moments. Max Castillo had 7 strikeouts over 4 innings today. He's a guy that has that potential. And so it's where are you taking away from and where are you adding to, and how do you mitigate whatever area in which you're making a sacrifice? That's my question with regards to Max Castillo in this specific moment. Now, that said, I don't think that the Blue Jays can afford to give Yusei Kikuchi another start. Yeah. So when Castillo comes out and does what he did today, it's very hard not to keep him in mind, especially with a doubleheader coming.
Yeah, right. I'm just looking at the calendar. I would imagine then, so tomorrow's the rubber game against the Brewers. That's on Sunday. 3 games against the Red Sox at Rogers Center from Monday to Wednesday, which I guess would mean the first game of the series against the Rays would be where Kikuchi's spot lines up for, I would imagine, right? So it's going to be in that Rays series at some point, right? So if it's not that game, it's the one of the doubleheader games. So, but either way, like you said, the doubleheader is coming, and that's going to be taxing on any team's bullpen, much less the Blue Jays, who are struggling right now with injuries and so on with that bullpen. So someone texted in, Barry from Wingham, what about Anthony Kay when it comes to starting pitchers? And we've seen Anthony Kay before. I've said on this program, even going back to last year, that Anthony Kay is someone I'm not willing to quit just quite yet. I think the stuff with Kay is so tantalizing to me. But I mean, again, he has struggled a little bit so far down in the minors. I believe today he had kind of like a 2-inning opening start for the Dunedin Blue Jays. So again, he's down with the low A affiliate right now. Thomas Hatch is another guy who we have seen get starts for this ball club. Certainly Trent Thornton, who already is on the active roster, is someone else who's gotten starts. But I mean, are any of the Kay, Hatch, Thornton names really going to be doing a lot more beyond stopgaps? Probably not, right? I mean, honestly, at this point, even if Castillo goes in there and shoves, honestly, Julia, I can't imagine too many. Like, you're looking at outside help, I would imagine, as a starting pitcher coming in here, because it's not as though Ricky Tiedemann is going to be pitching. I would be surprised if he pitches in the majors this year for the Blue Jays.
No, I don't think we're going to see that happen. I agree with you. I think that the names that you brought up would very much be stopgap solutions. Thomas Hatch is an interesting name, one that's been floated around a lot, by the front office as well as media, as well as people around the team. And I would expect to, you know, if things with this rotation remain as murky as they are right now, I would expect Thomas Hatch to at least have a stint in the major leagues. It's looking like it's going to happen sooner rather than later. But the conversation right now will revolve a lot around the trade deadline and how much the Blue Jays are willing to negotiate and deal come that time, because there are several names available, such as Luis Castillo, perhaps Frankie Montas, you know, guys whose teams are doing really badly. And now is the time to, you know, sort of, you kind of wait a little bit at the start of the season. It isn't very clear early on in the season who's going to actually compete or contend and who's not. These teams are sort of getting weeded out now. We know more clearly who's dealing and who's holding on to their talent. Now's the time to go out there and start shopping players and start looking for deals. And the Blue Jays would probably benefit from getting a head start on that.
Absolutely, yeah. The MLB trade deadline also moved back a couple of days this year with the new CBA. Before the trade deadline has always been synonymous with the end of July to me, but I think actually it's been it's August 2nd, I believe, this year. So again, not a huge difference for the trade deadline this year, but you have to think August now when you think of the MLB trade deadline. We're going to step aside here on Jays Talk, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to the text line and check out the Bet365 standings update as well. But you're listening to Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show and Julia will be back after this.
There's nothing junior about Gurriel's gun from the outfield.
Here's the throw by Gurriel, and they got him!
Yeah, that'll play with the Blue Jays on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show and Julia with you until 10 past the hour. Jays lose 5-4 to the Brewers in the second of three. They won yesterday, so that sets up the rubber match against the Milwaukee Brewers on Sunday. Jose Berríos will go after a relatively inconsistent outing against Chicago. He'll go and try and right the ship on Sunday for the Blue Jays. And Chichi Gonzalez, who we last saw in that twin series, he is now with the Brewers, so he will get the start tomorrow on Sunday. First pitch will be at 2:10 p.m. Eastern. Ben Wagner will have the call at Baseball Control, as always. But first, before we get back to the text line, 590-590, name and location, the Bet365 standings update with Bet365. You can bet on things like player props, totals, or the money line across many different sports. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. I did take Corbin Burns to get 10 strikeouts, more than 9.5 strikeouts today, I should say. And he departed the game with 9. So thanks a lot, Mr. Cy Young.
Serves you right, Show Alley. No, I'm kidding. I really feel for you. I'm sorry that that happened, but that'll teach you to bet against the Blue Jays.
That's true. That's what I try to. I gotta emotionally hedge sometimes, right? And
That was the wrong
time to do it. But there you go. So on the Bet365 standings update, Yankees are 52-20. The Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays are now tied 40-31. The Red Sox in action right now. Toronto losing today, so we'll see if the Red Sox game the outcome changes there. If they might drop back down or stay above the Blue Jays for second in the AL East. Tampa Bay, 39-32. They walk off the Pirates with an Isak Paredes two-run single in the bottom of the ninth inning. And the Baltimore Orioles are 34-39. I believe they beat the White Sox 6-2 earlier in action today. So, again, another tightly clustered AL East race, right? I mean, this seems to be the case every season. And I kind of thought it'd be less of that this season. And, of course, that has to do with some expectations on the Blue Jays' end. And maybe you're thinking the rest of the division outside the Yankees falling off a little bit. And I guess to a degree that's true, but of all teams, I mean, the Red Sox, and we're going to see and hear the Red Sox at Rogers Center on Monday for three. But Julie, I got to say the Red Sox have been playing some pretty good baseball as of late.
Ebbs and flows. Yeah. It's been the case for many of these American League East teams, including the Blue Jays, including the Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. You know who that doesn't include? The New York Yankees. Although, who knows what's brewing now? What this no hitter was the start of here? We don't know. But the Yankees have been pretty smooth all season, while the opponents have been very much experiencing the ebbs and flows of the season.
Yeah, two straight losses for the Yankees now, right? 3-1, a loss yesterday to the Houston Astros, and then the combined no hitter. I know some people don't count combined no hitters as a quote unquote real no hitters. And I get it. I guess a no hitter really is just when one guy does it, but I still think it's pretty impressive for Christian Javier. He went 7 innings today. He threw 115 pitches no hits, one walk, and 13 strikeouts. Like, that's the game of your life right there if you're Christian Javier.
Historic for sure, and especially against a lineup like the New York Yankees. And what was it? Was it since 2003? Was that the last time the Yankees were no hit?
It's something like the last time the Yankees were no hit by a single person was in the 50s. It was like the late 50s.
That is absurd.
Since 1958, they have been no hit, including today, just twice, and both times have come via a combined no hitter from the Houston Astros. I mean, how that's kind of freaky, honestly.
It's freaky, and it also, in a weird way, it makes sense. You know, it's kind of like the Houston Astros have their number a little bit. I'm not one to really adhere to superstition, but from time to time, you really do a double take on some of those things. I think it's pretty fitting that the Yankees were no hit in the fashion that they were today by the hands of the Houston Astros.
The Houston Astros also 45-26 as we wrap up our Bet365 standings update. Okay, we have a couple minutes left here on Jays Talk. Let's get back to the text line, 590-590. We'll go back to the phone lines tomorrow with Blair and Barker. But I see one here from, well, there's no name on this one, but it says, it's hard to put it all on him being Yusei Kikuchi. It seems like every outing he gets dropped balls, bad throws, bad calls. He needs to get out of his head. A few weeks off might be what he needs. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about when it comes to the mental aspect of pitchers starting. And again, I don't want to say, I kind of agree with this texter. It's hard to put it all on him. I think a large chunk of it is on him, right? I mean, and again, Ben said this when he was talking about the play of the game, which was the Andrew McCutchen home run. And again, he had very quick strikeouts in that inning, and had the throw from Bo gotten to first base on time or on target, you know, maybe we're having a different discussion today, right? Maybe we're talking about how the Blue Jays managed to eke out a couple of runs against Corbin Burns, and they got a couple of runs against, got a run or two against Josh Hader and Devin Williams. Like maybe that's what we're talking about instead. But unfortunately, that's not the way the cookie crumbled today. I see another one here from Clint in Winnipeg. Julia, bring up Yosfer Zulueta. He's 24 years old, throws hard. Not a lot of minor league games, but Manoah didn't either. Send Kikuchi down, let him work on his fastball command in Buffalo. So again, if Kikuchi gets sent down, he will probably elect to go to free agency because of the service time he's accrued. Probably. Like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will go down to Buffalo and he'll just say, okay, you know what? I'll work on it. Something's not working for me here. But on the other side of that, Yosfer Zulueta, I mean, I spoke with Donnie Murphy, the Dunedin manager, Dunedin Blue Jays manager, and look, everyone down there very impressed with him. But I mean, if that's where he's at 24 years old, I'm not sure what the long term solution is for Yosfer Zulueta. Like I see Zulueta as like a long reliever, maybe at some point in his career, maybe not a starter.
Maybe. I mean, he was dealt some bad hands in terms of injuries, and he's coming back and he's strong. He's very clearly a talented pitcher. Strikeout potential for days. He's a very good pitcher. He was dealt some bad hands, missed out a lot of time because of injury. Obviously, with the COVID season and the minor league season not happening that year, it didn't help him either. He's had to start pretty much from scratch when it comes to his minor league journey. I believe in him. But it's a little premature to say that he's a guy that the Blue Jays should call up immediately. I do believe that he would benefit from maybe an entire year in the minor leagues, make his rounds, kind of pay his dues a little bit. Unfortunately, for a guy who, you know, he should have had a faster advancement for sure. But these things happen, right? We're seeing it with Nate Pearson too. Injuries hit guys in different ways. Zulueta still has a lot of potential, and he's a good pitcher. He's doing fine right now. He will keep progressing. Unfortunately for him, there's been that delay in his development. The conversation of let's bring up Yosfer Zulueta will be here soon enough. It will happen. It's not the time nor the player to sort of be drastic with it.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had all the injuries. He had a Tommy John surgery at one point, and he had an ACL tear or something like that, right? So he's had I mean, we talk about snake bit guys. He had a bunch of injuries before he ever even started pitching for Dunedin, and now Dunedin, I guess he started with Dunedin this season, and he pitched well enough to get promoted to the Vancouver affiliate, the Vancouver Canadiens. And then you got Ricky Tiedemann, who is another very, Hayden Younger, I think, are going to be two guys Blue Jays fans are going to want to learn a lot about very quickly. Like in the next 12 months, I bet those are two guys we're having way more conversations about, especially Tiedemann, who is built like an NFL player, essentially an NFL linebacker out there throwing pitches on a mound. He's a massive human being. And he's just 19 years old. I mean, this guy is so super, super young. I only bring up Tiedemann because everything has gone right for him because of the way he's prepared this season and so on. But at the same time, if he finishes the year by pitching for New Hampshire, by pitching for the Fisher Cats, I think that is the best case scenario, right? And I totally get it. Like, Manoah didn't get a whole lot of seasoning either, so it's definitely possible you see that happen for another player like Tiedemann. But at the same time, I don't know. Even though there is a need for it right now with the starting pitching and Kikuchi not playing very well really at all, and the bullpen being a little, you know, I've used the word beleaguered a lot tonight, I don't know if the solution is to rush the development of someone like Tiedemann, who you would expect could be a big part of this for a long time to come.
Minor league development is anything but linear, right?
Oh boy, yeah.
I think that we've learned that in the past couple of years.
Well, just look at Manoah via Nate Pearson, right?
100%. That's exactly the point that I was going to make is, you look at Alek Manoah and you're like, well, if he did it, I mean, why not? It just doesn't work for every guy. It really depends on how they're built and are they injury prone? Are they not? What was their background before that? Are they an international signing? Did they used to play for an academy? Were they in college? There's so many factors that go into deciding where to place a minor league player and how to continue his progression. It's very tempting to look at Alek Manoah and make that sort of the prototype, but it just doesn't work that way. He's very much an outlier in just the way that he was built and the way that he developed before being selected by the Blue Jays made it very easier for the team to bring him up as quickly as they did. It's definitely not going to happen with every guy.
No. I mean, it would be nice. That'd be really nice.
Oh, it would be exciting for sure.
Yeah. I got to say, I am very much looking forward to the day where we get to see Ricky Tiedemann play in the majors. If you haven't seen any of his stuff, the Vancouver Canadiens, their Twitter page and their website has a lot of his highlights, and he has some nasty stuff. I think he's going to be someone fans are very excited to see, but we're probably not going to see him or Zulueta at any point this season. Again, a different conversation with Max Castillo, as we were talking about
Certainly.
Before, because he's here. He looks pretty good. He is stretched out, as people on the text line have pointed to. So I'm not completely opposed to having Max Castillo do it, even if it's just for two starts, just to see what he has.
And listen, when it comes to minor leaguers, I think that the beauty of it is that you Blue Jays fans have things to be excited and players to be excited about for years to come. Like when you look at it that way, this team is good. And then you look at the farm system and the guys that are still coming up, such as Adrian Hernandez, such as Max Castillo, Jordan Groshans, Moreno just getting his first MLB taste here. This is a good team that is competing for the postseason and competing for the World Series. And then there are so many good things that are still to come. And that is the product of many, many years of preparation. So in that sense, it's kind of a good thing that the Blue Jays don't have all their stars in the majors at once, if that makes any sense.
I will say that, again, I understand I do agree that the team will be good for a good chunk of time over the next several years, if not the next decade plus. But at the same time, you want the team to be good now too, right? Like the expectations again, and I'm a part of it. You're a part of it. The media, all the expectations were sky high. And even at 40-31, you thought the Jays would be better I don't think anyone thought they'd be as good as the Yankees are now, because what the Yankees are doing is historic. But at the same time, I think you expected more than being like double digit games back in the division of the Yankees before we hit July, essentially, right? And I think that's where the source of frustration is for many fans. So I think I 100% can get behind that, because I also expected more consistency from this ball club, and it's not something we have gotten a lot of. Like, there will be a point, Julie, I feel like, at some point this season where the pitching and the hitting are combined going doing well at the same time. Because at the beginning of the year, the pitching, the starting rotation especially, and to a degree the bullpen, doing very well offensively, a little offensively challenged, right? Then we get to, what, like mid-May or so, the bats heat up in a big way, and then the pitching kind of falls apart a little bit. The bullpen gets injured. Attrition will set in for any team, as we know, in any sport, not just baseball, but I mean, we'll get to that point where they're synced up. It's just, it's not right now. And I fear it won't be that way until after the All-Star break.
Maybe it'll be in October.
Hey, I certainly hope so. That'll make our job a lot more fun, right?
It would be interesting to see that happen in October. And that's what this team is built for, right? That's what they're trying to accomplish here. It is deflating at times. It can get frustrating for fans and for the players themselves. But that's just the nature of Major League Baseball. I certainly didn't expect the Blue Jays to be tied with the Red Sox right now. I did expect the Blue Jays to be a little bit better. But the time will come when things will align. Now, it's not going to happen magically, right? Moves must be made. Decisions must be made. And this is very much a joint effort with everyone involved. You get a pitcher who is struggling, like you say Kikuchi is, that's not going to magically go away. Something must be done in order to give this team a chance to gel and to align on every front. They're certainly talented enough. They certainly are. I mean, this lineup is as good as they get. And for the most part, the starting rotation has been phenomenal this year. So it's about writing those details and finding ways to stay competitive even through struggle. And that's, again, going back to the trade deadline, I believe that's what we're going to see come the beginning of August.
Yeah, Jay in North York texting to say, Jays have a surplus in fine catching, need a legit starter, should not be too hard to figure out the next move. You're probably right. I mean, I don't think Kirk is the one on the move, but the Jays will be making some kind of move the deadline. We'll have to wait and see what that is. But that's Julia Kreutz from MLB.com. And that does it for Jays Talk tonight. Appreciate the texts as always. Thanks for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, served up by the always game ready Jack Link's Meat Snacks. Feed your wild side, baseball fans. Jays lose 5-4 to the Brewers in game 2 of 3, which sets up the rubber match tomorrow on Sunday. Jose Berríos heads to the mound for the Jays, while Chichi Gonzalez, a player they've already seen this season, goes for the Brewers. Blair and Barker are back tomorrow for more Jays talk following the game. Have a wonderful Saturday evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.